Welcome to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal, where our goal is to change the way you practice dentistry by helping you achieve clinical, financial, and personal balance. Now, here's your host, T-Bone.
Okay, thank you for tuning in, and this is T-Bone Speaks, and I think we've got a great topic today. I'm T-Bone, and I'm joined by my co-host.
Hey, this is Chuck McKee.
Chuck, how are you doing? Why do you always use your full name?
Because people don't know who I am. I don't have a sexy name yet. You know, I'm not a first...
You're not Chuck Roast?
I'm not... I guess the way I look, I should be, right? You know, my goal is to be able to drop my last name and just go Madonna.
Like Prince? Like I'm T-Bone. Elvis. I'm just T-Bone. Like my goal is to go just to the dash of the T-Bone. Just, I want to be the dash.
What about the underscore? Is it a dash or is it an underscore?
Well, it's a hashtag or is it a pound sign or is it a number sign?
I don't know.
I'm that old.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you're not quite rotary old yet.
No, I'm not that white either. But, you know, so I shouldn't say that white. I'm probably not that American.
So I'm not ready to drop McKee yet. I like the way that sounds, by the way.
McKee.
I'm proud of being Irish.
Is that what that is?
I think so.
I have no idea.
It could be Scottish.
Oh, no. You got a lot of gray hair to
I'm
be
40.
I'm
a little bit of a calico. A little bit of everything. A
lot of gray hair to be 40. All right, Chuck. What are we going to talk about today? I know what we're going to talk about. I want to talk about financial freedom. I think it's a topic that, unfortunately, not enough dentists talk about, think about, or plan for. So, by that, I mean, I want to talk about, to me, there are three phases of financial freedom. There's personal, there's practice, and then there's retirement.
Okay.
So let's go. What do you got?
Well, first of all, why are you asking me this? I sell cotton rolls for a living and technology. Why?
Because people talk to you, man. I mean, you have a good client base. People open up and they ask you questions. They ask you what other dentists are doing. We should do an episode on how dentists compare themselves to other people and the nonsense that goes on there.
Well, I'll tell you, I have to be careful with that kind of stuff, right? You know, so as we...
You just don't use names.
Well, listen, my wife calls the dental industry the firm because once you're in, you can't get out. At the same time, everyone knows everyone. So in saying that, you know, I never share names. I don't infer anything, but I will tell you, it is probably the number one thing people ask me because what I found with dentists, you guys are just next level in so many different things in life. But the one thing that's always blown me away is how damn insecure you guys are. I'm like, why do you want to know?
That's called being a human being.
Well, listen, if you're doing great, you have a certain amount of money in the bank and you're...
What is a certain amount of money?
Well, why do you need to know? I mean, why do you need that validity? That's something I've never understood. Hey, are you taking enough time off? If you are, your marriage is great. If your practice is great.
But Chuck, it gives you a goal. I don't know what I could even achieve. Like, listen, if I just think $100,000 is a lot, then I think it's a lot. But if somebody else says, hey, I'm doing 150, I'm going to be like, hell, I can do 150.
Well... You know, I've just always wondered, you know, what's enough? You know, when I first started in this business, I'll never forget, you know, my wife and I, when we met, we were absolutely just the quintessential people straight out of college, dirt poor. I remember we moved in together after we got engaged.
You have a wife?
You know, I never see her, but she never sees me, but it works. Okay.
What time did you start this morning?
You know, I'm embarrassed to tell you because...
I asked you purposely.
You know, so if I tell you, you can't judge me. I started today at 3:20 a.m., but I do that one day a week, and that affords me the time to be able to coach soccer. That affords me the time to be able to do...
So you start at 3:20 a.m., you show up to my office at 6 p.m. today, and that affords you the time to coach soccer.
Well, that allows me to do that on Tuesday. That allows me to do it on Thursday. It allows me to do Cub Scouts on Monday night. So, you know what? If I got to take it on the chin, I can sleep when I die. I'm not worried about that. Thank God for Starbucks.
Let's get back to financial freedom.
Yes. So, you know, a question that comes up a lot, you know, Chuck, I'll give you a couple of things. Just the everyday practice money. You know, very typical practice, you know, we see is between $800,000, $1.2 million.
Okay.
A doctor and two hygiene. In North Carolina, we can only have two hygienists per doctor.
Thank God.
So I've always been amazed because you guys seem like you're exhausted.
Exhausted.
So, you know, I hear people say, Chuck, what do you think is a good number I should have in my checking account for my business? And, you know, I was like, first of all, I'm not a financial planner, but, you know, I do see the accounts receivable list, and I'm seeing a trend, and we'll come back to that trend. Seems like the longer insurance takes to pay you, that's how much more money you need. So, you know, I have some clients who want to keep $80,000, $90,000 in their business checking.
So if a practice is doing 80 grand, sorry, 800 grand a year, that's 70 grand a month.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
And what I'm seeing, there's a couple ways. You know, you have the doctors who want to keep 70 or 80,000 on a practice.
That's so let's call that one month of production.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And then you have those who they pay themselves, just call it 15,000 a month. And then whatever's left over, they're trying to keep just want to keep it as tight as they can and not have anything left over at the end of the month. And so there's that mindset, which has always scared me to death. So, and the other thing people often ask, you know, how much do you think I should have in my checking and savings at home?
Personally.
And I've always just been fascinated by that. I was like, well, run your house like you run your business, right? But maybe triple that at that point, because now we're not just worrying about our business, we're worrying about our family. So then the next thing I hear people say, you know.
I'm sorry to back up. So what you're saying is your advice is to keep 1x a month's production in your office checking account and keep 3x in a rainy day fund personally.
Conservatively speaking. Right. Yes. Now, and that's assuming that, you know, you're paying yourself all the other things on the way. You're maximizing your retirement.
We need to get to that, but yes.
So the other one that comes up a lot, Chuck, what should I be paying myself? You know, and
oh my God,
you know, and I always
so disagree with people on this, but
yeah, it comes up, right? Because I think it's a way that dentists want to measure themselves successfully, right? And so, and we always go back to, you know, are you looking for money or are you looking for time? You know, this is the balance. So that one comes up a lot, and it's amazing when I see the incomes.
Let's talk about that one real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
So I want to give you my thoughts on how dentists should pay yourself, because you said something earlier, let's say a dentist paid themselves $15,000 a month, and I just wanted to jump in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where do you come up with that number from? Like, where, I'm not saying you, but where does a dentist come up with that number from?
Well, I think, you know, goal setting is a whole.
No, but where is the 50? It's just like a random number.
Well, okay, so, and all I have to base it on are the litmus of dentists I have to work with, right? So I think people set their personal goals first. You know, what's their home? What's their mortgage going to be? What is their vacation going to be? What is their car going to be? What is their kids' college fund going to be?
Yeah, but so, you can't pay yourself based on that. Well, that's how the government runs.
But here's what you got to think about, right? And I'm just thinking out loud here. A lot of folks, you have to set a goal and work backwards, like with you.
No, you have to. No, I get that.
So I think that's where that number comes from to start with.
Okay, so to me, how you should pay yourself is you should pay yourself as an associate.
Right.
Okay, so you should pay yourself 25, 30, 35%, whatever the number is, whatever you would pay an associate, another dentist to work in your practice, and that's how you should pay yourself.
Right.
So if your practice, for example, does 80 grand, 70 grand a month, that's the example we're using.
Right.
Okay, that means that dentist probably doing, the solo dentist probably doing 50 grand of that.
Right.
Maybe a little bit less, probably 45 grand of that. And his two hygienists are doing 25,000 of that, correct?
Correct.
So that dentist should pay themselves X percent of $45,000. And see, I believe that the office overhead should be 80% after you pay the dentists. I don't believe in this office overhead is this 50, 55% number. To me, overhead should be measured as what it costs to run your practice, including paying the dentist. Because if I went on vacation for a month, how could I pay myself $15,000? I didn't earn it.
Well, let me ask you this, doing that math. So let's just call it $100,000 for simple math.
Okay.
$100,000 a month we're producing. Okay.
As an office. Okay.
Okay, and you're going to pay yourself X we talked
about. So probably $70,000 of that is dentist.
And we're running 80% overhead. That means we have $20,000 profit.
Yeah, as a business owner.
Yes. Okay. So what happens with that 20,000 times 12 months? That's $240,000. Let's just call it Raleigh Dental Arts PLC, PLLC.
Mm-hmm. Whatever, yeah.
So the $240,000 left over at the end of the year because the business...
Well, I'm dividending that out to myself on a monthly basis.
Okay, well, see, that's a great question because you hear Dennis say, do I leave that in there? Is that a big rainy day fund?
Well, I mean, I'm not a tax accountant and I probably don't do shit right to begin with, right?
Right.
But to me, okay, so you said rainy day fund.
Right.
Okay, so for me, what I have set up is I keep 2 months, 2X mm-hmm. worth of production available to me.
Okay.
Okay. That does not mean I leave it in a checking account because to me that's silly.
Right.
Okay, because that doesn't make any money. Okay. So I leave 2X available to me so that if something were to happen and I needed to go away for 2 months or if I got injured, I could sustain my practice for 2 months.
Okay.
Okay. After that, I just will close it down. Okay. Right. Was something, right? So I keep 2 months worth of money available to me liquid. Okay. Now, some of that may be in the form of a line of credit.
Right.
Okay. A personal line of credit or some of that. Most of that, 80% of that for me is kept as cash.
How long did it take you to get to that point?
A very long time.
So you're...
And the problem is as your numbers go up over the years, that number has to go up, right? And you have to have that discipline to put that money away.
So I know you do a lot with PPOs.
Mm-hmm.
So... And it's getting slower and slower and slower to get your reimbursements back.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct in saying
that?
But
that's why I have that fund, right? I mean, I have that working capital.
So,
here's the problem. Every business owner, when I use the word working capital, right? Every person that starts a practice started with working capital, correct?
About 50 grand.
But you never refund that. You never replenish that. And you should constantly have working capital in your practice. And it should be, in my opinion, 1 to 2X of your monthly production.
Well, how do we build that? That is such a hard thing because...
You get discipline.
Did you have to give up things personally to do that?
It's not my money. I don't get it until I... Does that make sense? I pay myself 30% of what I produce.
But it
I pay myself as an associate.
But it wasn't always that way.
You can't build it until you make it. Or in the beginning, you have to pay yourself less.
Okay.
And then you loan it to the practice, right? But right now I pay myself 30%, okay? And to use the math, my goal is 80% overhead, right? After I pay myself and everybody else, okay? So I pay myself 30% of what I personally produce, okay? And then that 20% that's left over, I have a plan of action. So I would say to you, let's use easy math. Let's say a person that has 100 grand practice, okay? I would say that you need to have let's call it $150,000 in working capital to float yourself for the things that you're talking about. Insurance takes time, all of those things. And I would make it a 18-month plan to get there. Okay, that's $8,000 a month. So of that 20% that you have margin every month, you need to put $8,000 of that away.
Would you say that's a mistake you made early on in your career?
I would say it's a mistake that I still make today is that, we're not disciplined. We're not disciplined. We don't have a plan. We just don't have a plan.
Well, I don't think that you don't have a plan.
I'm not saying me personally. I'm saying just dentistry in general.
Well, is it maybe out of desperation? You're like, look, I want to save that money. There's nobody who wants to save that money. I don't, more than every dentist. But you still have to do it. It just is not going to appear out of air. You know, if people have families, they have kids. I mean.
Well, stop living out of your means.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I'm just being frank. Stop living out of your means.
So it comes
eat up, macaroni and cheese.
Do you think that
don't send your kids to private school?
Do you really think that's in a doctor's mindset, though?
I'm sorry, it should be.
Okay.
Stop buying Louis Vuitton purses or Chanel purses. You know, stop it. I mean, stop the nonsense. You know, because what happens is you get yourself in so much trouble. You put yourself behind the eight ball. You start doing things like where you work for money. I mean, you do cases. You chase the money.
Right.
Like I talked to you about what I'm shameful about in the last episode.
Right.
You get stuck into doing that nonsense. So you've got to fund your working capital. And maybe your working capital doesn't need to be 1.5X or 1X. Maybe it needs to be half X. But you've got to have a formula, whether it's half X, 1X. I think 1X is the minimum.
Right.
Okay. 1X to me is the number. Okay. So $100,000 practice, $1 million practice should be putting $90,000 away in a working capital account. And then you need to fund it. If you don't have that, you need to fund it over the next 12 months. It's $7,000 or $8,000 a month. You can do it.
You know, it's interesting. We're in a market now that we've won a lot of awards, best places to live, great jobs. We have RTP. We have Duke University. We have so many great things here.
I don't like Duke so much, but that's okay.
Well, I don't like UNC.
Okay.
So,
well.
So one of the things with that, we've had just a major influx of dentists in our market. We're not New York, but we still have, we have 500 dentists in this whole town.
Yeah, you know, there's eight dentists on my corner.
500 in Raleigh. So, you know, it's interesting. I've been working with a lot of my clients since they were junior and seniors in dental school. I mean, these guys and gals are my friends. And these are people that I hang out with on the weekend. And so, you know, it's funny. We have a couple of beers and we pull back the curtain a little bit. It's interesting to me, the more desperate people are, the more aggressive these treatment plans have gotten. And you've probably seen it, especially the second and third opinions.
Yes. Or, and, you know, unfortunately, people probably tell me some things I do.
Well, one of my favorite things, and just a little pearl I heard from a dentist the other day, and I love this, and I share this with everybody I can when it comes to treatment planning. And, you know, you guys aren't selling, but you're justifying and you're educating. But call it selling, call it what it is. You're trying to get a patient to build value in what you're saying. And I love this. If you're having to do a second, third opinion on something, and even if the patient needs it, and this is something I heard a doctor say, he said, you know, dear Mrs. Smith, look, you do need a lot of work done. But guess what? It didn't happen overnight. We don't have to fix it all today.
I stole that from you. I use that all the time because you stole it from somebody else.
But oh, I love that. You know,
it's great.
You know, my wife went to Virginia Tech and her degree is in graphic design. And she had a professor tell her, by the way, speaking of knocking things off, there's no such thing as an original idea.
There isn't.
Everything was actually inspired by something else. So for what it's worth, yes, I totally stole that. But as long as you share it, it's okay, right?
Yeah,
of course. That like Robin Hood?
Well, as long as you give credit to somebody, right?
Yeah.
You know, even if it's anonymously. So I want to come back to the point here.
Yes.
Okay.
Bring it back around.
So in the practice, what we're saying is that we need to have a plan to have 1X in a fund available to us to be able to pay our bills or to float our practice working capital while insurance companies take longer to pay, or so that we can maybe float a new idea that we have in our practice to integrate our practice, or to, you know, to add new services to our practice, because it takes time. And I think we could probably do an episode on that where we talk about the time that it takes to integrate new technology in. So you have to float that, because there's times where you're making payments and you're not getting the return yet. So you need to have time for that. So you need to have a plan. To me, you should have a 12 to 18 month plan, and it should be a bill.
Right.
I mean, to me, it should be on set it and forget it. Hey, for the next 18 months, I'm going to put $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, whatever the number is, into a separate account that is going to be the rainy day practice fund. So with that being said, now let's go to our personal freedom.
Okay. Yeah. So we talk about, you know, something, you know, I stole from you and I love this, is the number one bill people aren't paying.
Yeah. And that's your retirement.
You know, there's a great book out there, and this book changed my life. My sister-in-law gave me this book as a wedding gift, and it's called Automatic Millionaire. And it's not about getting rich quick. It's about putting things on autopilot. And there's two books that I don't pay my kids to do certain things, you know, but these are the two books. My wife is livid that I agreed to pay my 10-year-old and my 12-year-old $50 a piece if they read these two books. One is Automatic Millionaire, and the other one is How to Become a Rainmaker. So, you know, the funny thing about Automatic Millionaire is basically just about wealth management and how to build your retirement, right? Einstein says the one thing that he never, ever, ever could comprehend was the tax code and also geometric progression. So if we know the power of compound interest and time, why are we doing that? That's one thing that's has blown me away with dentists. As a matter of fact, I will tell you this. I met with a guy today. He's 42 years old. His practice is doing pretty well. He's doing about $90,000 a month in production. That was a big deal for him because that was a big, big, big milestone.
That's a million bucks.
And you know what he told me today? He said, I think I'm going to be able to start funding my retirement.
Start.
But listen, now here's the thing. So professional associate for a while, right?
Still.
Beautiful buildings, doing great. And he's always been playing with a Vanguard kind of account. So one of the things he mentioned to me is now I'm able to really fund my retirement, you know, at the next level and do something with this for his staff as well. So again, 42 years old. Have you ever heard the staff from our friend Manji that he says that 98% of dentists, excuse me, that's not true, 80% of dentists age 65 and older cannot afford to retire and maintain their current lifestyle unless they sell their practice and use the proceeds to pay off their current mortgage? Are you kidding me?
It's crazy.
Are you
Let's
kidding
talk
me?
About this.
Yeah.
So I want to come back to what you talked about there, which was what you mentioned, which was the number one bill people aren't paying. Okay. And I want to use myself as an example. Okay. So I'm 40 years old. It wasn't until age 31 that I started doing this. And I beat myself up that I didn't start doing it earlier. And it is amazing the amount of freedom it gives me, the burden it relieves from me, to know that if I just keep chugging along, I'll be fine. And it's unbelievable, Chuck, what it feels like to know. Now, everybody's number is going to be different. Sure. Okay. But let's just say your number is $5 million. Okay. That's what you want.
Why 5 million? There's something to that number. Why five? What's 5 million give you?
5 million gives you $250,000 a year to live off of.
Okay. Okay. Explain that a little bit.
So roughly, if you say I'm going to get a 5% return, okay. 5 million times 5 is 5%. It's going to be $250,000.
Got you. Okay.
So, you know, $250,000, you pay some taxes, whatever, right? So you'll probably have $175,000 to $200,000 to live, okay, to sustain your lifestyle. Okay, or maybe less or more, whatever you need, but let's just use that number, okay? So to me, what you gotta do is you gotta work backwards and figure out what that number needs to be on a monthly basis. We are so programmed to fund or to pay monthly notes. I bought my cone beam machine, monthly note. Bought my CEREC machine, monthly note. Bought my building, monthly note. Bought my car, monthly note. Well, what about my retirement? So when I came up to that concept that I need to have $5 million in my retirement, it's a loan. That's the bottom line. It's a loan. So I figured out so that at age 60, not 65, 60, I want to have this in the bank.
Right.
Okay. And I work backwards. It's not hard to do. You just do a reverse mortgage essentially. Okay. And I work backwards and it said I need to put X dollars away every month. And if I do that, assuming a conservative growth of 5% annually, okay, that I will have $5 million in the bank. Okay. And so I put that away every month. It's a bill. I never see the money. It goes straight out of my practice to my personal account, straight out of my personal account to my retirement plan. Whether that's in a tax savings account, like through an IRA, whatever it may be, or whether it's just a general fund, we put that money away. I never see it.
Does the market freak you out? Do you find yourself?
Of course. I look a little bit, but you can't. You know, you got to be in it for the long haul. You know, if I were 60, it'd freak me out a little bit, right? But I'm 40, you know, and it's, to me, it's the most important advice I gave to my brother. When he started working at the hospital as an oral surgeon in D.C., I said, fund every penny. And I think the earlier you do it, the quicker you learn to live on a sustainable lifestyle. So when your friend or your client said, I'm 42 and now I can fund my retirement, that means he's got to be making even more than it takes to live off of.
Right.
Okay, so to me, you got to figure out what it takes to live. You got to add your funding, your retirement, and that's your base income. That's your income that you need to shoot for.
I'm gonna ask you a couple of questions.
Okay.
Fund a new building first. Fund your retirement first. Building's real estate. I can sell it. It's part of my practice. It's tangible.
You never know. It's hard. My dad always said to me, "It's easy to buy, hard to sell. If you got in a pinch." If I got into a pinch right now and needed to sell my building, who's going to give me full value for it?
It's a dental building, right?
But who's going to give me full value for it? If I was in a pinch, who's going to give me full value? When you pass away and that dentist passes away and they have their building, how many times have you heard of dental practices, the dentist passed away? What's their practice worth now? What's their building worth now? Everybody's dying to buy that because it's worthless. You know, in other words, you can get it for a steal.
It's a fire sale.
It's a fire sale, right? So I always look at it this way. You have to first and foremost fund your retirement. First and foremost. That number has to be a bill. It's got to be the bill.
You have technology that you want to buy. You've looked at a return on investment. Mm-hmm. Call the number of implants you're not doing or the number of crowns that you are doing. you see a substantial ROI that will, conservatively speaking, will save you $5,000 a month, but you got to make a loan payment, but you're not funding your retirement. What do you do?
That's a different decision, Chuck.
Right.
Okay. So to me, I don't know how to answer that. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you to live cleaner.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to say, don't take it out of your retirement fund. Right. You know, don't draw out of your retirement fund. But what I'm saying, when I say don't take out of retirement, I'm talking about that monthly bill. Okay.
That's correct.
That $5,000, $8,000, $10,000, whatever it is per month that you got to put away. Don't draw from that. That's your last option. To me, it's, you know, maybe you don't need a Mercedes. You know, maybe you don't need to get your... You know what drives me nuts sometimes? Is people make fun of my car being dirty.
I do that.
I don't want to spend $30 a week getting my car cleaned.
Well, I'm like, why do you have a Tesla?
That's $1,500 a month. $1,500 a year. Why would I waste $1,500? You know what that $1,500 a year cost me? That's like $100,000.
Well, let me ask you this.
It's $100,000 when I turn 65. Why in the world would I wash my car every week?
Well, so here's my thing. Pet peeve. Maybe it's me living vicariously through you. You have an awesome, beautiful Tesla.
So what?
And for your birthday, I was going to have it detailed, and you said, don't do it. But I'm like, well, don't buy a car like that. That's a slap in the face to me that you drive a car, and it looks horrible.
So what? It gets me from A to Z, A to B, whatever you guys say.
Why not buy a Honda then?
I don't know. I like the way it drives. I like the way it looks. I like how I feel. And I could give a crap less if it's dirty on the outside. I really could. And I'm not going to spend the money on it. That's not important to me.
Well,
so those are the things I'm talking about that people need to give up.
You give me a hard time about
like dry cleaning. Like why do people dry clean their clothes? Just wash it and iron it. Stop being lazy.
Put a price on your time. You're a little bit of a hypocrite there.
But listen, the person who can't fund the retirement doesn't have a time issue.
Well, there you go.
They have a money issue. Okay, so the person, I have a time issue because I'm doing all those things, right? So now I got a time issue, right? But when you got a money issue, then you got to work. I mean, then you got to go back to the motel days and you got to do laundry and you got to do all that stuff.
So let's talk about this. And the reason we bring this up is a lot of it I'm asking for my own selfish reasons because, A, you know, I am part of those people, right? But the other thing is I have a lot of tough conversations with my clients. What about the guy who's 50 years old, has done nothing? Just throw a white...
Start to accelerate.
Just, you know, and that is the beauty, right? Of the income
you
potential.
You accelerate. You got to do something.
Right. Real estate. I hear a lot of guys saying, you know what? I can't control the market, but you know what? I feel like I can do a little better with real estate.
So all those things play into that role, okay? So if you own your building, like I don't count your practice. Okay, I simply don't count a value of my practice as part of my number.
Okay.
Because I don't know what the market's going to bear 10 years from now or 15 years from now. I mean, practices maybe. Look at medical practices. What is a medical practice worth today?
Well, you tell us that. Your wife's an
MD. It's not worth nothing.
She's looked at a few.
It's nothing. It's a medical practice itself. The goodwill in medicine is essentially worth nothing.
You think we're going down that road?
I don't know. I hope not. But I don't know, right? I can't control that, can I? So I cannot depend on the value of my practice to fund my retirement. I just cannot. And nor would I recommend anybody listening to use that number. Now, real estate, you can put a value to it. Now, I think you should make the value 60, 70% of what you think it's worth because that's a fire sale value, right? To me, the values you got to put on those things is liquidating. So like stocks. Stocks are worth what they're worth because you can liquidate that pretty easily.
So,
okay.
So let's go back real quick. We talked about, you know, what's a good number to keep in your business checking, your rainy day fund, whatever that is. We've talked about a little bit on the personal side of things, you know, what's good to keep at home.
About 3X.
About 3X. That is something that people are just uncomfortable talking about. You know, it's funny. I listen to a lot of David Ramsey. I listen to, you name it, I listen to it. I just love to listen
to
it.
But not in podcast form.
Not in podcast form. I listen to it live. Because it's syndicated, right? But this is the one question that everyone asks, how much is enough? And so you answered a lot of questions I think a lot of dentists are asking. So let's talk about this. So time frames. You know, we have a lot of young people starting to buy practices versus setting up cold starts.
Yeah, I think in major markets.
Yes.
You know, metro markets, I think the cold start is harder and harder.
It is hard. It's harder and harder for me to personally recommend.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a straight commission salesperson, and I've got to sleep at night, right? I don't.
But obviously you don't, because you started at 3 o'clock this morning.
Maybe there's a problem. I don't succeed unless my clients succeed, and I'm certainly never going to put them in a market that they're going to be stressed out in. I would like to walk in and be around positive people. People who are doing well seem to be a little more happy and positive. So let's talk about an expectation and time frame for people. What are you seeing? I mean, you started from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
The first one just absolutely was a miserable start. I mean, that model failed miserably.
It did.
So you gave
I don't like to use the word failed, but it didn't succeed.
We found another way not to do it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, how about that? So you gave that 2 years?
About 18 months to 2 years, yeah.
So then you started your new model.
And for what he's talking about is I started my first year, 18 months to 24 months of my practice as a fee-for-service only cash practice, essentially cosmetic only practice.
And you were 23 years old?
I was 24.
24.
Yeah.
You did the, you worked for, I remember you worked one time. It was actually for an HMO dentist, correct?
Yeah, it was for an HMO group. I've worked for DSOs.
Yeah, so that lasted. I remember. Tell me if I'm right on the story, because I called on that group.
Yep, that's where we met.
Great account.
1999.
They bought a lot of stuff, but anyway, and I remember you leaving, and I asked one day why you were gone. Tell me if there's a true story here. So apparently, you had treatment plan number 8 and 9, and you want to do 2 Empress crowns, and it might have been Procera back then. I don't recall, but it was all ceramic. And the insurance company would not pay that. They downgraded it to a PFM, and you quit.
I just quit.
Tell us about that real quick. Is that the truth?
It's pretty close. I mean, that's not the reason I left, but I was too dumb to know that my whole life was going to be like that. But I'm like, why should I? Essentially, the group I was working for at the time wanted me to do a PFM because that's what insurance paid for. And I said, no, I won't do it because it's not aesthetically the right thing to do. It's not what the patient wants. And the patient wasn't willing to pay whatever outrageous fee they wanted for just the all ceramic crowns. So I just said, this is ridiculous. Just that's part of the reason. But that's not the reason I left.
So next,
I just knew better. I knew I could do it on my own.
So we went from Strickland Road, yeah. and that didn't work out so well.
Yep.
And then you moved to Windchime.
Mm-hmm.
And you bought that building.
I bought it, yes. I believe in buying versus renting.
So you were renting a beautiful piece of real estate.
That I did not own.
And that didn't work. So you're like, well, that doesn't work. I'm renting.
Well, renting wasn't the reason it wasn't working.
But
I wanted to buy something. So
we started over.
Yep.
And you bought that building. How long before you started feeling like this is going to work?
Well, that's a somewhat unfair question, Chuck, from the sense that it was so not working before that simply making money was working, right?
Step one.
Yeah, step one. So I would say it took me a solid 18 months or 2 years to be comfortable that, hey, I'm going to be okay.
Were you there full time?
Yeah, I was there 4 days. I mean, I made a lot of mistakes starting. We should do an episode about all the mistakes I made starting. It's just unreal the number of mistakes. I look back, like the idea of starting a practice from scratch and being there 5 days a week is stupid.
Yeah,
like I should be working somewhere else at the same time.
I don't think I've ever recommended anyone to do that. But
yeah.
So you went through that cycle.
Yeah.
And but year two, year three in the new building, you're doing pretty well.
Yeah, we're doing very good.
Then you bought this building.
Yeah, that was a tough move.
So you went from 1,200 square feet?
1,800.
To what?
10,000.
And how'd that go?
Oh.
With a wife that was in her residency.
Yeah, she was just finishing her residency. That was an unbelievable leap of faith, Chuck. But to kind of tie it in, I wouldn't be able to make that leap of faith if I wasn't putting my money away every month.
Okay.
Because to buy this building required a down payment, correct?
Yes.
And where was I going to get that down payment if I didn't have money? You know, if I wasn't saving. So I dipped into my rainy day fund to buy this building. Not cash, but to put the down payment for the building down. And to me, that all comes back to putting the money away. So when I say you got to put money away for your retirement, it doesn't mean that you can't touch it for very important things. For risks. What is retirement? It's a risk. What is a stock market? That's an investment, correct?
Right.
So when you buy stocks, it's a risk. It's a gamble. It's legalized gambling, in my opinion. So you can buy and sell stocks if you want. I chose to take that money and use it as a down payment on this building. And to me, it really boils down to just being able to put money away. So, you know, we're reaching our time, Chuck. I want to kind of wrap this up a little bit on this episode. So what we're saying is that we need to have a plan to have 1x for your practice to working capital. We need to have a plan to have 3x of your monthly personal expenses in a rainy day fund. And then we need to have a plan to reach your retirement at whatever age you want it to be. And that retirement should be to sustain your current lifestyle. So you can't assume you're going to live on macaroni and cheese if you've eaten caviar all your life. It's not going to be possible. You can't assume that you're not going to travel more when you're retired because you got nothing to do besides travel because you don't have a job. So you have to sustain your current lifestyle. And so you need to have that number in mind. So if you live on 100 grand a month right now, then you need to be able to pull 100 grand a month in retirement. And you need that kind of money in a retirement fund. And the good news is that if you know that number, you can then work backwards and say, hey, at this age, I want to reach that what I call freedom state. And then you want to put that money away. It's a bill. It's a monthly bill that you put away. I'm telling you, it is a great feeling when you get to that point. It doesn't happen tomorrow, like you can suddenly be able to put the money away, but you build up to it. If that number is 10 grand a month, then you start with 1 a month, 2 a month, 3 a month, 4 a month. And the next thing you know, you're hitting your number. You've adjusted your lifestyle accordingly, or you've adjusted your practice accordingly, and you reach those goals. So I think it's a important topic. If you have some questions, certainly you can visit Chuck at askchuckmckee.com. You can visit me at 3d-dentists.com, or you can find me on Facebook. Chuck is still not on Facebook yet.
But, I'm thinking MySpace. I'm bringing it back.
I think you can get on the Facebook. You'll get on Google Plus when it's finally dead.
I'm almost on the line.
Oh, my God. All right. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. And we look forward to catching you next time.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to T-Bone Speaks with Dr. Tarun Agarwal. Remember to keep striving for excellence, and we'll catch you on the next episode.